All right, guys. I see you back on. We had
we're
a little
back. We're
yeah,
back.
There we go.
Welcome back to the longest running independent ACC podcast in the country. We're coming back with Taylor Lynch, who you can follow on Twitter at Taylor Lynch. That's at TayLerLynch. He is one half of the Louisville Sports Live podcast. That site Twitter account is at LVILLESPRTSLIVE. And his co-host is Ethan Moore, who you can follow on Twitter at underscore Ethan Moore. That's at underscore ETHANMOORE. And Taylor and Ethan have a radio show called Louisville Sports Live. It's the longest running University of Louisville sports talk radio show dedicated to the University of Louisville sports. It's on 939 DeVille. Again, that's 93.9 FM DeVille. Their site Twitter account is at 939 DeVille. Their radio show is powered by ESPN, and it's on every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern. We're going to get into the last couple of questions of the podcast here. I know we're about ready to say something really positive here about University of Louisville football, right? Because I would argue, Taylor, that I think you probably agree with this, that Louisville football is on pretty firm ground now. I want to give you a chance here to drop some praise here.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that Jeff Brohm coming back, coming home and taking over this football program was huge. And I think that it's been something that Louisville fans have been clamoring for and been waiting for a long time. I think Scott Satterfield came in and he gets a lot of grief, and some of it is warranted. But he came in and he took over a team that had won two games the season before in the last year of Bobby Petrino 2.0. And it did not go well, and it was not a great environment. And he was able to kind of right the ship and get things back on firm footing. But he was never able to get Louisville back to where they were with Lamar Jackson competing for a Heisman Trophy and having the game of all games against Clemson and Death Valley, where both teams were fighting for an opportunity for the playoff. Satterfield was never able to kind of recreate that magic and get Louisville back to that level. And with Jeff Brohm coming back in year one, I mean, Louisville plays in their first ACC championship game ever. And it seems like that was kind of just the tip of the iceberg, really, for this program. They're on firm footing. They're recruiting lights out. They're hitting the transfer portal harder than just about anybody. And they're getting the success on the field. And I think that's the biggest takeaway. You see teams that can do well in the transfer portal and guys that can recruit, but can you develop the talent when it gets here? And that's one thing that Jeff and his staff have shown in their time at Purdue. And in one year here, that they're able to get the most out of their guys. And let's not pretend like this offense last season for Louisville was exactly what Jeff Brohm wanted. It wasn't. And he got a lot of pieces, but I think we only saw maybe 60 to 70, maybe 50 to 60% of the true playbook and everything that Jeff Brohm really wants to do with this offense. And so I think that, you know, coming into this season, he's got more of the type of player that he wants on that side of the ball. And I think you're going to see a more electric, a more dynamic offense. And I think defensively, this team played really well for long stretches last season, but there were too many opportunities where it was only on Ashton Gelati to get any type of a pass rush. And I think Louisville addressed those issues in the offseason. I think you've got more pass rushers. You've got kind of some of the deficiencies on the backs end of the defense kind of sewn up. Quincy Riley is still going to be a stud. You do not want to throw the ball in his area. He picked off Tyler Shuck actually during the spring game at one point. So he looks like he's still going to be as dominant as we've expected him to be the last couple of seasons. So this Louisville football program is headed in the right direction. I think it's kind of an interesting time in the ACC right now where it feels like Virginia Tech is starting to get it back together. It feels like, you know, Florida State is on firm footing right now. I don't really know what we're going to expect from North Carolina. I don't really know what to expect from Miami. And you know, for as great as Clemson has been, for as long as they have been elite, and I won't expect Louisville to win that game in Death Valley until they do, because that's been an issue since we joined the league. But if Dabo Swinney doesn't adapt to the transfer portal, then he's in danger of being left behind, and Clemson won't stand for that. So Louisville's in an interesting position right now where they have an opportunity to kind of grab a hold of this league. If they can put a couple of really good seasons together back to back, it's going to be interesting to see where Louisville football can get to.
Excellent comments too. And I would argue, at least from my end, if we're talking a little bit about your schedule, don't sleep on Haynes King, man, from Georgia
Tech. Yep.
He's a good quarterback. He's going to make life difficult for some ACC teams here. Open microphone time, Taylor. I'm going to use my open microphone time to ask you a question, and then you can drop into your own microphone as your own microphone. This is a chance for you to get to say anything you want, but I'm going to ask you a question for your open microphone, and then you can transition to your own. You can answer my question, then you can transition to your own, because I read this article today at CNBC, and I want you to sell me on Louisville. I read this article today at CNBC that has Louisville, Kentucky in the top 30 places in the United States for remote workers. And I thought that was an interesting article. It didn't say any more than that. It just, because it only went into depth and, you know, into the top, you know, top four or five, but it had Louisville on there in the top 30, which is pretty good. And I assume that it's, you know, obviously a combination of factors, right? You know, one, of course, being that you have a great educational institution there. It shapes the cultural opportunities of the city. I know once Louisville joined the ACC, it certainly changed the academic rankings of the school overnight. But it certainly changes that sort of thing in part of the city. But I'm not sure of what happened with, you know, what, you know, how housing cost factor in there. I'm sure that they're less expensive than they are in the Washington D.C. area. Mm-hmm. But sell me here. Sell me on Louisville. Why is this so great for people that are remote workers?
I think it's great for a lot of different reasons. And you know, my wife is a remote worker, so she could probably tell you better than I could. But it's an interesting city in the fact that we are south-ish. I think if you ask you know, people here, we're not quite the South, we're not quite the Midwest, we're kind of somewhere in the middle. So you've got this hodgepodge of and melding of culture and different you know, different ideas. I think Louisville as a food city is fantastic and probably a little underrated for how much of a foodie city we are. And it kind of has that feel of being the biggest hometown or the biggest small town you'll ever come to. I mean, it's if you want the big city feel, we definitely have that. If you want the small town feel, we definitely have that too. And I think that the revitalization that has happened in the downtown area and so many of the different areas that you've got to go and shop and eat and enjoy everything that the city has to offer, it makes it a desirable place to live. It makes it a desirable place to work. And not to mention, you know, what the University of Louisville does for this city and like you said, how it has shaped that area surrounding it. And, you know, we also have the fastest 2 minutes in sports coming up in the next 2 weeks, and that'll bring a lot of eyeballs to the city as well. So I think the city's rich in tradition, rich in history. It's an interesting place. It's a very interesting place to live.
Thank you, sir. What do you got for your open mic? Anything you want to talk about?
Well, we talked about this a little bit Wednesday night on LSL, and it's this idea of the super conferences coming to college football. And I think we can all agree that this is not something that's going to happen overnight or possibly something that will happen at all. But it is the best idea that I have heard so far for creating some sort of law and order and making sense of what we have done to college athletics over the last 10 years. the idea that Stanford is playing in the ACC, as great of an institution as they are, and it's going to be fantastic to have them in the league, but Stanford and Cal should not be playing conference games against Duke and Carolina. It's just not the way that it's supposed to be. So the idea of having these super conferences with these seven divisions with 10 teams in each division, and it's this crazy concept of actually playing teams in your area. Stop me if you've heard this before, but it's this novel concept that we've all of a sudden come up with. I think it would be fantastic for college athletics. It'd be fantastic for college football to get back to that, to get to some sort of regionality, because that's what makes this game great. That the rivalries, the regional rivalries, that's what makes that stuff interesting. You know, when Louisville's playing Virginia Tech in basketball, when Louisville's playing West Virginia in football, and Cincinnati, like, these are the things that make this game that we all love so interesting. So I don't think it will ever happen. I think there would have to be a lot of the TV execs getting involved and coming up with, you know, somebody that can speak for the entirety of college football. That's the only way I potentially see this. And even if the college football playoff steps in and says, this is how we want it, that would be interesting. But we all know that the SEC and the Big Ten will stand in the way of anything that possibly could stop them from controlling all the cards. But it would be fantastic to see, in my opinion.
I'm with you. I'm with you, sir. Jeff, you're up, friend.
Yeah, I think the other big thing that we always talk about in this changing face of the college athletics landscape is just what Taylor talked about with the super conferences and the realignment. And the other one is the transfer portal. And someone, I got it up here so I can give him the proper credit. Eric Haslam, whose X account is at @HASLAMETRICS, that's Haslam Metrics, he tweeted out something today that at first when I read it, I laughed. And then I'm like, this is funny because I could totally see this happening, and it's so bad for the sport. It's so bad for college athletics. This is what he tweeted out. He said, "Waiting for the moment a player loses in the first weekend of the NCAA tournament and then transfers to a team still alive in the second weekend of the NCAA tournament. You know, if we're going to get stupid, let's just go all the way." And I think he's right on with this, because it seems like we've talked about this, you know, over and over. Everyone talks about how it's out of control. It's so bad for the sport. And it's now gotten to the point where it's not just, man, I got to hold on to my team during the off season, to where it really feels like we're just another degree away, one more step away from something as preposterous as this actually happening. And I think I really could see this, because every time someone tries to even attempt a rule, you know, into trying to put something together into the transfer portal, it gets shot down. And it seems like it's just going to be a matter of time before we're seeing players swap teams in the postseason. And the other thing I tweeted out earlier too, is that it seems like if it's not already happening behind the scenes, that it's on the verge of happening, where coaches and programs are just going to swap players and make trades, you know, to other programs. Like, hey, half the time it seems like it's already happening. But where it's just formalized and say, hey, I'll trade you, you know, our starting center who's averaging, 15 and 10, if you give me two guards, and we'll put, you know, the NIL deals into it. And it's really beyond out of control now, where it's just completely ridiculous. And I mean, I don't know if there's a way to put the toothpaste back in the bottle. I don't think it's going to be possible. And who knows, unless these super leagues form, or until there's a completely new structure to college athletics management. We know the NCAA is obviously incapable of it. They missed their chance, but man, it really does seem like we're one step away from, you know, players being transferred in the middle of the postseason for somebody's Final Four run. And it's so bad. It's so bad for college athletics. I mean, they always say, oh, college athletics will find a way. But if it goes down that path, which I don't think is completely out of the question, you know, people are going to find other sports to watch.
I think you're right. And I think that was kind of a crazy scenario brought up by our friend Eric, but it's not out of the realm of possibility, man. It's not out of the realm of possibility. Taylor, thank you so much for joining us on the All Sports Discussion ACC podcast. You were awesome with us tonight. You bring some great energy for a new year, for a new guest, and we would love to have you come back on the show again sometime. Thanks again for joining us and spending your Sunday evening with us, Taylor.
Absolutely. Appreciate it, guys. Thanks so much.
Have a great week, guys. Take care.